Look at verse 32. Look at verse 32. This whole passage, I want to show you this, and we're going to walk through the passage just real quick. He said, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. He's just gone through and talked about marriage and about wives submitting yourselves to your husbands, husbands loving your wife as Christ loved the church. And then he talks about unity and in being one flesh and Christ and in the church. And we are members of his body, those of us that are a part of one of his churches. And so this passage is, yes, it's about marriage, but not really. It's about Christ and his church. And so what I want to do tonight, I want to just show you, and really, I've got three customers tonight. Normally I have one. It's Jesus. But tonight, Jordan and Cassandra, I'm adding you two. So if all of you guys are like, you know, it'll, I want you to see the beauty in this, right? So when I first start, you know, so go back to verse 22 there, guys. You know, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands. That's like, and, but it's glorious when we understand what the Lord is talking about and what Cassandra, you'll get to picture. And when God commands wives to do this, he commands them because he can trust them more than husbands. It's interesting. And he's designed. And so when you submit to Jordan as your husband, the Bible doesn't say it's always going to be easy, but it'll honor Christ. And that's why it's beautiful. And we're going to talk about that tonight. So I'm gonna give you my outline real quick, and then I'll preach the message. But so my outline is going to be verse 22 through 24. It's going to be about submission. I want us to understand this. Submission is the key to anyone's life. This is so important. And it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands because of what it pictures. We'll talk about that in just a second. But I want you to understand this. In order to be rescued from our sins, we must submit. We must surrender in faith to Christ. There's no one else. There's no other way that we can be made right with God except through Christ. And it's submitting to him, submitting to his work, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just using interchangeable terms in the Bible. You know, everybody tells me they believe in Jesus, but they've never really surrendered. They've never truly submitted. They've never truly just given their lives to Christ in faith. And that's what the Bible's talking about. So tonight, when we talk about that, my first point tonight, and I'll get to that in a second, will be submission, but it's going to be so broad, so beautiful, that we all ought to be wanting to do this because of the beautiful picture that it's going to talk about. Look at verse 22 to 24. You're going to see this. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Why? Because of what it pictures. For the husband is the head of the wife. Not a less than proposition with the ladies. It's just a structure that God had designed. For the husband is the head of the wife, and when this is done well, even as Christ is the head of the church and he is the Savior of the body, when we do that well, when my wife and I do that well, Jordan, when you and Cassandra do that well, you represent Christ well. Because, let me tell you, the key to Hope Baptist Church being used for God's glory is that we would submit to him. Not that we would come up with our own doctrine, our own thoughts, our own ways. The key to glorifying God is submitting to his ways, his truth. And so it's why in marriage it's beautiful. And he says, therefore, as Christ is as the church is subject unto Christ. I want you to know this. The church isn't subject unto a pastor. The church is subject unto Christ. I'm one of many of the membership of Hope Baptist Church. I might have more influence. I'm a leader, a shepherd. But I want to tell you this. It's Christ that is our head. This is not a dictatorship. He says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And I'll get to that, so this will actually shorten my first point. It is this. At first, when we say, you know, submission, oh, it's really yielding to God's ways and God's structure. It is, the Bible tells us that we ought to submit ourselves unto the laws of the land. And that would be yielding ourselves to God's plan and his ways in everything. Because what matters most is how we represent Christ. That's for believers. Before anything matters, the real question is, have you truly had your sins removed by faith in Christ? But submission will be my first point. Then what I want to show you, just walk through the scriptures. It says, husbands, love your wives. Now, three verses on submission. Jordan, it's so many verses I don't remember off the top of my head. But the details of loving your wife. And so now we'll talk about that tonight. But here's what it said. Husbands, love your wives. Why? Because the way we love our wives represent Christ. as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. When we poorly love our wives, we poorly picture and represent Christ. Christ never sinned. Christ did everything right. And Christ was completely sacrificed so that you and I might be saved and so that you and I might be part of his plan and one of his churches and serve him until he calls us home. Guys, give me verses 26. Here you go. So that, here's why. Go back to verse 25. I want to get the flow here. And husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Why? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. I want you to remember that. There's a reason why you love your wife as Christ loved the church, why you love your wife sacrificially, so that you might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by word, that he might, this is Christ, that he might present it, the church, to himself a glorious church. This is you love your wife so that you can protect her and help her in her walk with Christ so that she one day will be a gift to God. It's interesting, great, great passage. It says that he, this is Christ, might present it, the church, to himself a glorious church, but this is all pictured in marriage, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Because the Bible never encourages us to love ourselves because that's automatic. But if we love our wives, God says, well, yeah, we know we love ourselves. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it. We, you know, take care of our own flesh. We're number one. And he said, even as the Lord the church, he said this. Go to the next verse, guys, verse 30. He said, for we are members of his body. So first point tonight's going to be submission. Second point's going to be love. The third point's going to be unity. And look at this. For we are members. Us that are born again and part of a church, because this is written specifically to the church at Ephesus, for we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause, most people have heard this, shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And the Bible says that we, the men, the guys, ought to cling to our wives. Right? We're one flesh. There's a great benefit for that, and hopefully I'll remember to talk about that tonight. But it's because of unity. If you guys can just stay united, oh, I know, you're going to have, you know, issues. But just remember this. The cause is bigger than your marriage. It's the cause of Christ. The way the devil will destroy your marriage is get you guys divided. Jordan will never be your enemy, Cassandra. And Cassandra will never be your enemy, Jordan. Don't ever let those thoughts cross through your mind. I trust and I'm excited that you two are making things right before God tonight so that you might honor him better tomorrow. And so understand this, that the devil doesn't like what's going to happen tonight. You should be super encouraged if there's a battle that's a spiritual battle, because the devil, he doesn't know the future. I think he might be worried that you two might become great servants of God. And you know the way he's going to disrupt that? Divide you in your marriage. And why not start early? And so we see submission, we see love, we see unity. And then finally in verse 33, I'll finish with this, we see a love for your wife and reverence. Love and reverence, and we'll all see that. Guys, go to my notes, and that's what we'll talk from. I wanted you to see. For some of you that might not have the scriptures, for the rest of you, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 5 so you can see what I'm referencing. Can't tell you the last time my notes are not overwhelming anyway, but it's good. So let's just look at this. Verse 22 to 24, it's this. Marriage is based on, and the Bible does talk about mutual submission. It says this in verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. I tell you this, submission. So this is a tough one, submission. It's a yielding to God's ways. Submission represents Christ's headship of the church. So, Cassandra, I'll speak to you individually. When you just yield to your husband and say, you know, you're the head of this whole household. Now, I want to be clear. You won't find that, Jordan, you won't find that you have to make that many decisions. One of the most beautiful things that you're going to find in marriage, particularly those that are saved, right, that you're one flesh, And so I'm going to tell you this. It is one of the greatest benefits of me being married is when Deb and I have peace and it's consistent with the Bible, we're gonna pursue it. It's a blessing. And so you should seek peace between the two of you. And so I remember when we were first married, we've been married 37 years now. You know, I was never allowed to have like good cereal when I grew up. I mean, I guess that's kind of the modern day thing, right? No sugar. My dad, he was a cheapo. I mean, I love my dad. It was just like this. So here's all we had, like Post Toasties and shredded wheat without the frosting. I'm like, what in the world? I saw my rebellion growing up. I'm like, let me tell you, when it's my household, Captain Crunchberries, and there's nothing better. I haven't had cereal in a long time, but it's still Captain Crunchberries. So, you know, I remember when we were first married, I had to make those hard calls. I said, honey, I'm the head of the home. It's Crunchberries. And we really, you know, you don't find it that often, right? What I'm telling you is this. It ought to be rare where you have to make decisions where you're not at peace. You ought to seek peace. You ought to seek alignment. You ought to seek instruction from God's word. Seek instruction from godly men and women. And then, you know what? Submission won't be that hard. It's just yielding to God's plan. That's all it is. And the reason why God then says, husbands, love your wives, right? He says, husbands, love your wives, is because of this. When a woman submits to a man, and this is the greatest pushback I've gotten as I've counseled people over the years, they say, I'll never submit. Because it is a point of vulnerability, is it not? It's a point I don't want to open myself up for that. That's why Jordan, right after that, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives. We are not to take advantage of that. We are not to abuse that. We are to understand this is God's structure. This is God's ways. You'll be held more accountable because you're the head of the home. I remind you, remember this, Adam and Eve, the story of Adam and Eve. Who sinned first, Adam or Eve? Eve, Cassandra. And like I've told many people, all our problems go back to women. My favorite joke. I'm just kidding, right? But Eve sinned first, but who did God hold most accountable? Adam. He was the head of the home. There's great responsibility for being the head of the home. It may sound good on paper. It may sound powerful, but then God will hold you accountable. And Cassandra, he's asking you to be vulnerable and trust the Lord because it'll represent what Christ is. It'll represent a great picture of Christ. Christ came in full agreement, in full submission to the will of the Father, and we praise the Lord for that because that led him to take our punishment on the cross. And so, Jordan, the way we'll avoid abusing that, because historically, that's what men have done. We've abused our power, and we've then manipulated and abused the weaker vessels. And that's why God tells us in Ephesians 5, he says, husbands, love your wives. And he says this, look at Ephesians 5. He says, as husbands love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And so the love represents Christ's love for the church. And I want to show you this, his sacrifice. Look at this, Jordan, if you will. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Christ came and he was sacrificed. He died. He took upon himself our sin and he said, I love you so much that I'll die for you. We have to have that same spirit. By God's grace, you won't have to do that, but that's how we should love our wives. And I want you to remember this. The reason why you should love Cassandra is because of Christ. If the only reason that you'll love Cassandra is because she's lovable, she's probably not going to be lovable every day. Now, my wife has been, out of the 37 years, 31 of the 37 lovable. But I want to tell you this, though, when we understand this, my wife is the woman that God gave me. And if I want to represent Christ well, I will love her and I will sacrifice for her. Let me tell you, just to be clear, these aren't easy messages for me to preach. It's not like I've got it down. I'm going to preach the truth, and I love the truth. You know why? It reminds me of just what the Lord wants me to do as a husband. I love this. Can I share just a little bit? So, because is it widely known now? Is it widely known that Joe and Phoebe are getting married? Joe and Phoebe are getting married. So I secretly kept a secret. Amen. So I kept a secret. Why have you noticed I haven't mentioned Joe in several weeks? Is I'm just afraid I would lose it. And so, but I've been having premarital counseling with Joe and Phoebe last few weeks. And I love this. I love this. I can't remember the question that we were answering. But, you know, one of the ways, Joe, do you remember? Here's Joe's answer. Let me give Joe's answer. Joe, see if you can remember the question. I just thought it was great, but I was under great conviction. I can't remember if it was, how do we love our wives? How can you love Phoebe? And maybe that was the question. And you said, by serving her. Was that the question and that was the answer? Oh, Joe said that. And I'm like, I'm just glad Deb's not here. And so, you know, but it's good. I love doing premarital counseling. It intimidates me. My wife is like, man, we need to have that more often. Some more people get married. Because you know this? That's very consistent. Christ came not to be served, but to serve. And then when he saves us, we get the privilege to serve. And I will tell you, as much as I was intimidated by your answer, it's consistent with Scripture. Jordan, when we want to honor Christ, we will serve our bride. We will love her as Christ loved the church. And we will sacrifice our own wants, our own will, our own desire for our bride. Christ died specially for his church, his kind of church, his churches. I can use all those terms. And he was driven by love. And so tonight, it's easy. I want you just to remember this. The Scriptures will help you. Be encouraged. I'm encouraged. I love your answer. It's still intimidating to me. It's the first time my wife has heard about it because I didn't have the courage to tell her because she's acts of service. Her love language is, right? And I was like, man, I can't tell her that. I'll say, well, we're going to hire Joe. Have him over for a couple days. But it's representing Christ's love. How do we do that? His sacrifice. His goal. Look at his goal. Verse 26 to 27. He's loving the church and gave himself for it that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it. Present the church to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. I'm telling you, some could say, but when he's in the context of a husband and a wife and loving them, his goal was to present a gift to God. So Jordan, I want to tell you this. Your goal is that one day you will have had such an influence, such an impact on Cassandra, that it'll be a great and glorious gift when she passes from this life and she stands before Jesus Christ. That you've had a great role in influencing, in guiding, in loving, in directing your wife. Because here's why it matters, so that she might honor Christ. Christ loved the church. He gave himself for it, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, without spot or without wrinkle, so that you can almost see the care that he has for his church. And that's the care we should have for our bride. And so I'm telling you, I preach the truth, not that it's easy, but I think it's clear. Third thing I want you to see, his focus. Look at verse 27. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, a glorious church. He does this, his focus is the glory of God. And so what I want to tell you, Jordan, Cassandra, I want to tell you this. It really isn't too late. You guys can still back out. But I know I've talked to you about this already. The reason you should get married is the glory of God. That's why it matters tonight. It almost, and if God didn't exist, this is silly. Okay, I'm just telling you. Now, all the stats tell you God's ways are always best. Well, there's no possibility that God doesn't exist, so it's like a silly hypothetical, but I will tell you that if God doesn't exist, why? But he does, and he said, this pleases me. This is what to do. To honor you. And when we do things that honor him, we benefit. And so when you love your wife, when you submit to your husband, It's for the glory of God. And it's worth it. If you only submit to Jordan because he responds to you in a certain way, then you'll quit. But if you really get this down and you say, Christ was honored, that jerk, right? No, you don't have to say that, but Christ was honored. And Jordan, if you only love Cassandra if she reciprocates, then you may stop. But when you love her, no matter how she responds, you represent Christ well. Every believer in this room, we know this, that I'm so glad that Christ's love isn't fickle. It's not up and down. He loves me. And it's never wavered. And he's committed to that love, and that's what he's asking us to do as husbands. Now, it's daunting. It's daunting. And so here's what the Bible says. It's like, well, then how can a man do this? How can a man do this? It's, God created women, and he knows how difficult they are. Just kidding. I tell people this, too. You know, I joke. My church has heard this a million times, but God created Eve to be what? Adam's helpmeet. It's the most beautiful, glorious thing when you really understand it. It was before sin. You know what God said? I know how I created man, and he needs help even before sin. And what did he create a woman to help a man do? Glorify God. So, Cassandra, I want to tell you this. Your greatest role is to glorify God, and as a wife, to help your man glorify God. And you know what that is? Sometimes through quiet love. Quiet love. So, Jordan, how can you do this? The Bible tells us this. It says, love her like your own body. Look at verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. It's love your wife like it's your body. Right? I need to do a better job of empathizing with my wife, you know, because as we get older, I've got to learn this, right? Because you know you're getting old when you can spend most of your time with your wife and fellowshipping and talking about your aches and pains, right? You know you're getting old when you run into people and all you talk about is your physical ailments. And so I have a tendency, probably my wife's like, that's an understatement. I have a tendency not to, honey, where does it hurt? Let me massage that, right? And she would love that, right? So I read this, and Christ says, love her like it's your own body. Love her like it matters. Second thing he says, nourish and cherish her. Look at this in verse 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. I'm going to tell you, it is, I honestly didn't think pastoring would be that different than just being a servant of the Lord. For whatever reason, I feel like God's helped me see his nourishing and his cherishing and his just kindness. Because really, really, when you're not a pastor, I don't know. When you're a pastor, you're like, if God blessed our church according to my faithfulness, we would have nobody. But he nourishes it. He cherishes it. He's faithful. He's kind. He's good. And so I want to tell you, you'll know your wife's weaknesses better than she admit. I mean, better than, and so you know what I tell you to do? Nourish her. Cherish her. Love is never wrong. Did you notice how much longer the scriptures were about you loving your wife? It is this. Men don't love their wives naturally. Women love, you know, the Bible never commands women to love their husbands. Titus chapter 2 says that the older women ought to teach the younger women to love their husbands. That's the closest thing. But you know how many times it says, husbands, love your wives. And it says things like, and be not bitter against them. You know, but it's, we don't naturally love. Women naturally love. The greatest need of your wife, and every woman would agree, is to feel loved. I had this issue with my own kids, and I'm trying to change it with my grandkids. Every one of my kids, and I think most of you know, I love you. I just don't know if you feel it all the time. Some of you guys are like, man, you know, I don't know if you had to say it that way. Maybe I didn't. So I want to tell you this. One thing we have to do, at least this man right here. Not only do you have to love her, you need to talk to her and say, do you feel loved? You want your wife to know she loves you and to feel loved. Would my wife agree? You know I love you. The issue sometimes, you don't always feel it. If we can do that by nourishing and cherishing them, we represent Christ well. Remember this, submission, love, and then unity. And then unity is verse 30 and 32. He says, for we are members. This is Paul talking to this church at Ephesus. For we are members of his body. When people join a church, they become a part of that body of Christ and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Unity representing Christ's plan for the church. It's this. You guys, get along. One of the principles that I give immediately in premarital counseling, postmarital counseling, midmarital counseling, whatever it might be, is this. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. That's Ephesians chapter 4. It is this. He's going to make you mad, Cassandra. She's going to make you mad, Jordan. I know it's never happened before. But it's this. Work it out. Don't go to bed angry. Don't go to bed angry. Because what the devil will do, he wants to put a wedge between you two. And what will happen, I forgot your little girl's name. Anastasia. I should have remembered that, right? I had some Disney film in front of me. I just couldn't remember which princess it was. Anastasia, great name. Anastasia will pick up when there's a divide between you two. Only because she's a little sinner. And the devil will use her when there's a divide between you. When there's a divide between you, reconcile. Get it right that night. You'll never regret that. I told our church recently, God's been so good to us. We've had this commitment to have that. I think it's less than 5 times in our life we've ever gone to bed angry. You think it's less than 5? I was afraid she's going to have some kind of number. She's like, it's 42. It's 42. But less than 5, it's a big deal. All the 5, I regret. Reconcile, because marriages fall apart because of division. It can be all kinds of things. Reconcile, make things right, first with God, and then with each other. Remember, all of our sin is against God. And everything needs to come back to Him. 3 keys to your marriage: submission, love, and unity. And the final thought, verse 33, I use the word reverence here, and normally I will put respect. There's a great book by Emerson Eggerichs called Love and Respect. So I don't mind this being respect, but I love the word reverence because I've just looked it up a little bit more. Look at verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Reverence is a deep respect. But I want to tell you, why this matters is because it represents what Christ deserves. You see, in our world today, marriage seems unnecessary, right? In Ohio, there's no common law marriage. And, you know, if it wasn't for the Lord and I wasn't a Christian, ain't no way I'd get married, right? Because then she can skin me if we get divorced. I know that's totally selfish thinking. The reason why we get married is because of the Lord. So marriage, it's losing its reason. It's always been because that's what God says is best. When you get married and you love each other and reverence one another. And so, Cassandra, I want to tell you this. You probably never heard this from the pulpit yet. You know what the greatest need of Jordan is? To be respected. He loves being loved. And we are flaky. We're flaky, right? But I will tell you this. You're going to have to work at showing him respect. He's going to have to work at loving you. You love to be respected. but it's not your number one need. He's probably way better at respecting you. All right, soldier, you know, but I want to tell you this. Reverence your man. That's just a word for deep respect. Jordan, love your woman. That's the woman that God's given you. And we'll even have words till death do we part, right? And figure it out. Get along, because Christ deserves it. When you love your wife, you represent Christ well. When you respect your man, you represent Christ well. Let me tell you, it is so amazing. I wish I walked around every day realizing this. When I'm a jerk to my wife, let's just say it's privately, but let's say it's with my kids, or let's say it's in front of you. I tarnish the image, the reputation of Christ. Marriage is glorious because of Christ. The only things that matter are because of Christ. Let's pray.